Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle for this day from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5. I read for you again these words. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So far, the reading of the text. Dearly beloved of the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus, the only Savior of the world, we are surrounded by much that makes us anxious. We hear more and more stories of people who died by murder or suicide, or who have cancer or some other tremendous ailment. Such news is always shocking and terrible, and quite often raises a multitude of questions. Often, adding to our anxiety is constantly hearing about mental health. And yet, lest we think otherwise, sudden despair, overwhelming anxiety, and depression can overtake any of us. Lest anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Truly, we walk in danger all the way. You see, you've got an enemy who's out to get you. He's the devil, Satan, the old evil foe. And he means to do you evil, whether in body or soul or both. The attacks can come in various forms: mental anguish, despair of God's goodness, spiritual doubts, anger, hatred, unforgiveness, guilt over the past, anxieties over the future, physical worries, health issues, financial worries, family conflicts, divorce, and so much more. The devil will use any or all of these things to try to tear you away from God and to do you harm. Or he may come at you from the other side with good stuff. Again, his purpose is to separate you from God, from reliance on God's word, from faith in Christ, and from being part of God's people, the church. When things are going good, he will try to get you to think that you really don't need God. I've got enough money. I'm healthy. I've got fun things to do that I enjoy. So, who needs God? Who needs church? That's for weak people. I don't need that. See? The devil can work both angles. Anything to separate you from the faith which saves you. In the years after Christ ascended, Peter knew full well about these dangers. He's writing to Christians who were tempted to give up on God at the time. The Christians he's writing to were undergoing severe persecution. They were suffering for the gospel, suffering for being Christians. It would have been easy for them to give up and just go along to get along, to avoid persecution by blending in with the unbelieving world and living like they did. The devil will use anything he can to get you to give up trust in God. And when you're suffering persecution for being a Christian, the devil will try to take advantage of that. Why suffer? Forget this Christianity nonsense. Look, what good is it doing you? Nothing. All you get is hardship and suffering. Peter tells Christians to be alert to this danger. And not just the danger of the persecution itself, but also the greater danger of succumbing to the devil's temptations when you do suffer. He writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." So it shouldn't really be a surprise when the world hates you for being a Christian. After all, they hated Christ too, didn't they? And the world still hates Christ and his Christians. Christians are still being martyred and murdered and massacred in various parts of the world. Muslim groups are still slaughtering Christians in parts of Africa and the Middle East, and most lately in Nigeria. In post-Christian, secularized, atheistic Western Europe, the antagonism is real, although less bloody. In some places, Christians are ostracized economically and socially marginalized, mocked, not given advancement, even within the supposedly Christian, but really apostate, national churches. A recent example of such persecution. Dr. Pavi Rasanen, a medical doctor and a long-standing member of the Finnish parliament, was recently found guilty of agitation against a minority group by the Finnish Supreme Court. This was for her published views on marriage and sexuality, which conformed to biblical teaching. She's been under such persecution for a fair number of years now. But thank God it's not that bad here as it is in Europe. But still, Christians and our churches are facing opposition and ridicule in the media, in education, in popular culture, and even in certain levels of government. Remember, not so long ago, the many restrictions on churches and depriving citizens of their religious liberty following and during COVID. We truly do walk in danger all the way. Dangers from without, hostility from the world, dangers from within, anxieties, despair, temptations from the devil. So we need to be on our guard. And most of all, we need help from our Creator and Redeemer. This is why St. Peter writes to us today that is something so very helpful and timely. Listen again to these words. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Humble yourself. Realize that you do need help. Realize your weakness. Know that you need to rely on God if you're going to make it safely home. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. Why? Because we are sinners. We too readily give in to temptation. Our fallen sinful nature is such that we do not trust God to take care of us. We think He's holding out on us. We'd rather go our own way and do what we want to do. But that's sin. That's our basic problem. And the struggle is there and it's very real. But then, this is why Christ came. He came to win forgiveness for our sins. He came to win the struggle for us. He is our great champion, marching out to slay Goliath for us. Which, of course, He did. Jesus overcame the devil's temptations in the wilderness. He would not be diverted from His course, which would take Him to the cross. Jesus walked the way of obedience, keeping the commandments, which we break and have constantly broken. And He was obedient unto death, even death on the cross. There, the woman's seed stomped on the devil's head, delivering the death blow to Satan. Jesus, by His death, destroyed death and overcame the enemy for us. Christ's resurrection shows the victory remains with life. Life that Jesus shares with all who believe in Him. Now, the old devil is like a dragon cast out of heaven, thrashing about here on earth, lashing out with his tail against all God's children. Since he couldn't take down Christ, he'll try to take down some of his Christians. St. Peter pictures him as a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Don't let yourself be lion food. Realize that he's on the prowl and be wise to his tricks. Don't give in to his ploys when you recognize them. And in all of this, always rely on God to give you the help you need at just the right time. For that help comes from God's Word. It comes in the Gospel, in Word and Sacrament. This is how you will be strengthened for that fight. This is how you will be firm in your faith. And you will need this help on a regular basis your whole life long. And guess what? It's a joy to suffer for Christ's sake. Oh no, we would not imagine that for the world, but it's true. For even in the midst of the struggle, there is joy in being a Christian. To know that you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. To know that you are God's child and that He is watching out for you. To know that God cares for you personally, individually, in all your messed up ways. In your far from perfect life, God still cares for you. He has not and never will give up on you. He will see you home, safe and sound, even though you'll pick up some scrapes and bumps along the way. That's all right. God is for you and with you. So cast all your anxieties on Him. Cast all your sins and your burdens, your worries and your guilt on Him. He's big enough to handle it. Your Savior says to you today, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yes, we do walk in danger all the way, but Christ is walking with us. Dear Christian, God is for you and with you. Cast all your anxieties, all your worries on Him, because He does care for you. And what will be the outcome of all this? Well, here's God's promise to you. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.